Following Christmas and continuing through today, the present time, we have been experiencing a series of sermons from John's Gospel. Today, we'll continue that series with a message many of you, including the children who were just up here a few moments ago, may be familiar with already. Jesus feeding the 5,000. Did you know that this miracle is only one of two, the resurrection being the other, found in all four Gospels? Secondly, perhaps a more accurate description for this feeding may be the 20,000, since there were, as Val said, 5,000 men plus women plus children. It's also a parable with many lessons about the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ to meet the vast needs of this world through his inadequate disciples. A question to set the stage for each of us. Does God give us, me included, opportunities for my faith to grow? And as you consider your response, friends, consider the following examples from Scripture. Faith may grow during sickness, such as when Jairus' daughter became sick, passed away, and Jesus raised her from the dead. Or faith may grow when we witness a miracle, such as when the disciples witnessed a young boy with a mute spirit being healed, as recorded in the Gospel of Mark. Or the widow who had only enough flour and oil left to make one meal for her and her son and then planned to die. And we find this recorded in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 16. However, she shared it with the prophet Elijah and saw her supplies not run dry. These examples, plus others, affirms the fact that God will often give us opportunities for our faith to grow, and that bears repetition. God will often give us opportunities for our faith to grow. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 records this miracle and subsequently the title of this message, Lessons Learned Through the Faith of a Child, with these words. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves, 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." The word of God. Thanks be to God. Andrew sought for a solution. He found a young boy with a meal of 5 loaves of barley bread, 2 small fish. The boy could have refused to give up his lunch. He could have chosen to run away when the disciple approached him and asked if he would sacrifice his meal for Jesus. Neither Andrew nor the boy knew what Christ would do. But this boy allowed the Lord to use his little gift. He trusted Christ with his possessions, even though he did not know what the outcome would be. When you and I trust God with your and my talents and abilities and give it to him, he will take your offering and multiply it. He will use what you give him, and it will be used to bless so many people. Which brings us to the first point in your outline, if you have it before you. God sees what man overlooks. God wants us to start paying attention to the details. There is no small part in God's plan. All but one of the disciples appeared to overlook this young boy. Andrew was the only one. Andrew saw the possibility of what could be done, though he did not know how. He did know he had to turn to Christ and seek his intervention. After all, he also knew how important it was for the crowd to hear Jesus. A question for you and for me. How important is it for you, for others, to hear the word of God? Andrew noticed a young boy who was willing. Andrew was willing to take him to the Lord to find out how he could be used. According to a study I read entitled Relational Evangelism, Evangelizing Family and Friends Successfully, 95% of all Christians have never won a soul to Christ. 80% of all Christians do not consistently witness for Christ. Less than 2% are actively involved in evangelism. 71% do not give toward the financing of the Great Commission. My point in sharing those numbers is don't overlook people or possibilities where God can be glorified and your faith, my faith, can be strengthened. Oftentimes these possibilities are looked at as problems when in reality they're opportunities. Which brings us to the second point in our outline this morning. With God, it is not a problem. It is an opportunity. The disciples saw a problem. They saw a whole lot of people who were hanging around and getting hungry, right? People brought up the cost, and it was as if he was trying to say, "It would be better, Lord, just simply better, send them home, send them home." The disciples saw the problem, but the crowd, that crowd was not going away. Where they saw a problem, Christ saw it as an opportunity. Sometimes following God may lead us into obstacles and situations that appear to be problems. Sometimes these problems can cause us to have mental breakdowns and derail us from our goals. Friends, remember this. Not every problem you and I run into is from Satan. Sometimes it is an opportunity for God to grow our faith and show up and show out. We find in Romans 8:28 these words, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Keep in mind, these problems are really just, once again, opportunities for you to give of yourself to God. Just a thought. I'd say about in the last 18 months, year and a half now, my observation has been we here at Fairview have witnessed more people being actively involved in Fairview's fellowship committee. A lot of leadership, a lot of energy there. Our disciple team with the children's message, that core group just this morning has enhanced and has brought, again, a degree of energy to that ministry. I can speak for the men's Bible study on the first and third Tuesdays of the month. A lot of energy, a lot of focus, just a lot of really solid commitment. Just to share those three with you. God wants us to be willing to give all we have to him, for him to use for his kingdom. This young boy was willing to give everything he had, really is. He may not have had anything else. Picture this for a moment. I can see him with a nervous look and deep eyes. As he was approached, he may have had some hesitancy, all very possible. He may have been even fearful and felt insignificant. But what did he do? He put that inhibition aside. This was his moment of truth. There was no going back. He was either going to go all in or back away. All in, back away. Nobody was going to take it from him. It was up to him to offer it or not. And that brings us to the third point in your sermon outline. Trust God with your talents and abilities to bless others. Trust God with your talents and abilities to bless others. How many times do we hold back because we think what we have is not possibly good enough to take care of the opportunities that arise? Earlier in the service, Pam mention an invitation, huh? An opportunity, right? We'll pray about that too, Pam. The woman with the two small coins found in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. We call it the widow's offering. She gave all she had when others gave out of their prosperity. We read in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, perfect." God's will, good, perfect, acceptable. A question once again, are you going to go all in or are you going to back away? If you choose to walk away with the bread and fish, figuratively speaking, that you have, that is your choice, that is my choice. But at the same time, God will hold you, he'll hold me, accountable for what you don't give back to him. You are a steward of all you have. I am a steward of all I have. That young boy came that day and had an abundance of food for himself. Himself. Not near enough to feed that type of multitude. No one could have blamed him if he kept it to himself. But he didn't. He gave it up for the good of the kingdom, the church. On the flip side, Ananias and Sapphira we find and read about them in Acts chapter 5, the first 11 verses. They held back.
They held back.
Peter even told them it was theirs to do with what they want. Instead, they lied about it to God. They lied about it. I think one of my biggest questions right now is when you say, or I say, we are giving ourselves to God, are you giving all of yourself to God? Or are you holding back? Just holding back a little. Are you telling God you are doing all you can? Remember, you and I are stewards respectively. One problem that I see within the church today, and I'm using that in the general concept, is too many Christians are doing too much. We live in a world where we are always busy, so we don't have time for God. We have an abundance of ways we can serve Him. We often tell Him that, and others, that we are all in for Him, when in reality, we're not. Then we get worn out, and we try to force things. And that brings me to the fourth point in our outline. It's in God's strength, not ours. God's strength, not ours. How far would those fishes and loaves have gone if the young boy attempted to do it in his own strength? It would not have gone very far, right? Instead, he had to have the faith to trust that Christ would make it work. Philip attempted to think about how to feed the masses on mankind's scale. He attempted to think about what he could do instead of what God could do. Philip did what sometimes we all do. He tried to financially calculate things and realized it simply doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. He, just like the rest of us, sometimes have to look beyond the human realm and look into the spiritual realm. Friends, logically pointing things out based upon human standards runs contrary to God. If God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, then why do we attempt to do things in my own strength? Two scripture references I want to share with you at this time. One is from Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11, where we find His pleasure, God's pleasure, is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. His unfailing love. And from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, we read these words. So he said to me, and I quote, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." In closing, I have two concerns with this message that we have just shared together. First, if you've never tasted Christ as the living bread to give you eternal life, then that is your main need, my main need. Your main need is not for a Jesus to heal you, give you a job, or provide you with a comfortable standard of living, lots of friends, all the whistles and bells that we associate with that. Your main need is to come to Jesus Christ for eternal life. Just as you eat bread to sustain your physical life, even though you don't know exactly how that works, so you need to trust Christ for eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 35 tells us, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Second concern in closing. If you have trusted in Christ, then my concern is that you offer yourself to him to use to meet the needs of others. You know, we always have many ministry needs in any church, and Fairview is no exception. Many, many are behind the scenes, and those of you who have done that know full well what I could use as examples. We call them servant-type jobs. But also the Lord wants to use you to give out the bread of life to others, whether to fellow believers or to those who do not yet know Jesus Christ as Savior. Closing, don't live for yourself. Live to be used of God, and you'll be satisfied with a basket full of the living bread for yourself. Say amen, someone.